One of the great days of the week is when we get to talk to our next guest, Harry. We missed him last week. He was on vacation, had a little vacation.
Yeah, man.
I saw him tweeting about it, saying goodbye to the location.
I think it was out in the Tetons, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been out there. Yeah. It's beautiful.
So we bring him on right now. He joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline from the MMQB, also The Athletic and much more. Andrew Brandt joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Andrew, how you doing today?
Well, good to be with you guys, as always. Good to be back. I was out there hiking, biking, doing all that fun stuff I like to do in the mountains.
Oh, yeah? You weren't visiting Kanye at his Jackson Hole studio?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I think he got out of there before I landed, so okay. He didn't wait around for me.
Andrew, what I want to start with you real quick is the story that we've kind of always been, it's kind of like an evergreen story with that we talked to you about, and it's regarding the gambling.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see more states fall, I guess. Is that the right way to put it? And what is the situation in PA right now?
Well, yeah. And the NFL's trying to get to stop it, I think, right?
Do they have a leg to stand on here? Because there's a lot of interested parties listening to this radio show right now that want that answer.
Yeah, I don't, you know, in terms of leg to stop it, no, of course not. I mean, there's always lobbying. There's always ways that you have places like the NFL and other Major League Baseball try to use their muscle in any way they can. But I just think that this is something that, again, I've said this all along, the time for that was before the Supreme Court made a decision. And maybe they never thought the Supreme Court would decide the way it is, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's frustrating, this scene with the NFL. There was a report yesterday that there would be hearings next week on a potential federal legislation in Congress. Dave Purdom, my friend from ESPN, covers the gambling beat, tweeted that out. But then this morning he tweets out, no, that's not the case at all. They postponed it. And that's my natural reaction. You're not going to get that fast-tracked with everything else going on in the world right now, especially what's going on at the border, what's going on overseas. People are really going to focus on sports betting,
mm-hmm.
especially when the Supreme Court has ruled on it. So where we are since the last time we talked, New Jersey's in. Monmouth Park is operating. We saw Governor Murphy make the first bet. I think he bet on the Bills to beat the Cubs.
Right.
Even before that, we probably talked then, Delaware's in.
Right.
So Delaware's in. We're going to see things happen, in my mind, in states like West Virginia, Mississippi,
Oregon.
Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Pennsylvania thing is a little bit tied up with all the tax issues. The Pennsylvania has been very aggressive about the tax, so there's a lot of negotiation going on. But I don't think any part of those negotiations are what we've talked about as integrity fees.
Mm.
New Jersey kind of slammed the door on the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball for that. Maybe they'll have a little more success, I hear, in West Virginia, calling it different things. Maybe they're moving away from that word, integrity fee, more of a royalty. But again, I'm a negotiator. I'm going to say to the leagues, listen, Nevada never did it. You fought this for 6 years, especially New Jersey could say it. You made us spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions.
In legal fees.
Yeah, and now you want this. You know, I think there's a suit out there. I've been following all the aftershocks. There's a suit against the leagues for those legal fees.
Mm. That's interesting. Yeah, I saw Mississippi, West Virginia might be the next two states to fall, and then I'm hearing about Oregon, and I'm just like wondering, will Pennsylvania, in your opinion, be up and running by football season?
Yeah, it seems to be a little bit bogged down.
Yeah.
I am going to go out and say yes, though.
Okay.
I mean, I think by 2 months, yeah, I think they'll be ready to go, and you'll be able to do a Nevada-style sports book by then. And listen, it's obviously, it's honeymoon period, but Delaware and New Jersey are boffo
right.
for the first couple of weeks. Things are going well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this what we got, about 35 days until
exactly,
training
yeah.
camp starts.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, that's that 5 weeks from today, and it's that dead period where the general managers, the head coaches, they just don't want that phone call in the middle of the night from their security guy. And I know you dealt with this for many years. What are these guys going through now here as they're trying to have a little vacation before they come back for camp?
Yeah, you know, Doug Peterson, all these coaches give the standard be smart speech. You know, try to be an adult. But listen, I get it. I'm a former agent. I understand these guys. are getting their last partying in before what I call going in the submarine at the end of July for 6 months. And frankly, I dealt with this all my years in running a team with the Packers. I just cringed at that unrecognizable phone number that would come in. And frankly, I'm not going to name any names, but it was not only about players. It was about coaches and staff as well, because they're in the same boat. You know, they're going into the bubble for 6 months, and they're having their last time away. Give you some quick stories. There was one time I got a call from just like a tourist in Cancun. He's like, you know, I just saw, he called the Packers, they transferred to me. I just saw one of your best players wheeled into this hospital. He fell off a jet ski. I'm like, okay. That's interesting.
Wow.
So I call the agent. The agent doesn't know anything. We call the family. Yeah, he's in Cancun. I'm like, okay, we got to deal with that. He was fine. There was another time I got a call from an officer saying, I have your player here. His wife has thrown out all his possessions on the street after finding about some infidelity. There's been a disturbance. You're the contact. That was one. And then the one, the, sort of the mother of all stories, is I got a call in the middle of the night one time where an officer in Miami just said to me in the most matter-of-fact voice possible, I have your player here. He just defecated in a woman's laundry hamper.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, that was classic.
Oh, man.
And I remember my neighbor at the time, two doors down, heard me saying, he did what?
That's classic.
So those are the kind of calls you deal with. I had to get a coach out of a casino in Green Bay who was falling down drunk. I mean, these are the kind of things that you worry about over the next 6 weeks, but
unbelievable.
Eventually get to training camp and they're tethered to you now.
Wow, incredible stuff. Andrew, last question for you, because I'm wondering about this, because we see these incidents that are happening in and around sports, and it's not just involving maybe the employee, player, or whatever. It's the significant other. Now, we obviously know of the Brian Colangelo situation and how that played out. We now know what's happened in Ottawa with the Senators, with the wife of Erik Karlsson and the fiance of a teammate bullying her online to the point where they've gotten a protective order, which is basically a restraining order in Canada. Do teams have some sort of conflict resolution person on staff to head these things off before they become so big? And if they don't, is that something worth investing in for these professional sports organizations? Because it tears teams apart. It tore the Sixers apart in a lot of ways, their front office, with this Colangelo situation. Now the same thing's happening with a hockey team in Canada. And I got to think that this is going on more than we're just being reported.
Yeah, I think the issue you bring up is proactivity, because I know a lot of teams have counselors / psychologists / mentor type people, directors of player engagement, director of player relations, and they're kind of looking out for weaning the young players into the system, making sure there are no financial issues that are cropping up, giving out financial advice, bringing in people to deal with social skills. But I'm not sure exactly what you're saying is out there for the proactive nature, where you're really sort of getting, and you're almost doing an internal assessment all the time. I think that's probably another thing that's coming out of this Colangelo. I mean, granularly, we're talking about Twitter policies, and we're talking about social media policies and how many accounts you're allowed to have and can you comment through other accounts. But I think on the broader level, it's like we need to assess how we're operating internally, almost like a McKinsey-style consultancy, because that's where you really root out any issues that could come up like that.
Yeah, I don't know if you watch the show Billions, but every sports organization could use a Wendy Rhodes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, we need a Wendy.
Yeah, it's like a performance coach /
Our radio station could use one, actually.
You're not
kidding.
Yeah,
exactly.
We had the opposite of that, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
Andrew, always appreciate your insight, and we'll definitely talk to you next week as the countdown to training camp's on. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys, talk soon.